Yeah, I am again. Hi. Well, this is the something that has stuck to me this week. Few days ago, and it's a story that I think some of you read this every day, right? The Daily Bread. Dan does. I don't. When he's reading, he reads it. When I read the devotions, I read something else. So, but he reads this every morning and the Bible, and I read some. But this was the day that he was reading, and it really sticked into my mind and my heart. So that's why I'm sharing it with you. Anyways, it's about the story, God is Sufficient Grace. I don't know how to read these names, but I'm going to try. Born Mary Flannery O'Connor. She is best known as Flannery O'Connor, one of the American South's most celebrated writers. Her story is brim with suffering and grace. When her beloved father died of lupus when she was 15, a devastated O'Connor threw herself into writing her first novel. Soon she herself was diagnosed with lupus. I don't even know what that is. An incurable disease that took her life at 39. O'Connor's writing reflects her physical and mental anguish. Novelist Alice McDermott said, "It was the illness, I think, that made her the writer that she is." We don't know what the Apostle Paul thorn was, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and I'm going to read that later. Though many have offered conjecture, we do know that Paul said, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me," verse 8. We also know God did not do so, verse 9. This humbled Paul. He noticed how it kept him from becoming conceited. Verse 7, Paul's thorn formed him and made him the apostle that he was. But the thorn wasn't all, for with the thorn came God's sufficient grace and perfecting power so the tormented Paul could declare, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Verse 10. The thorn in our lives, whatever they may be, form us, they make us who we are, but the thorns aren't all there is. As Paul and Flannery O'Connor and countless others have witnessed over the long arc of human history, God's grace is sufficient for us. And it says, what the thorns in your life, how can you permit God's grace and strength to be enough for you today? And I just want to read that one. So Dan, he was in the devotion, it kind of really made so much sense to me. So Paul has been given the power of the Holy Spirit. Like he was changed when he met Jesus. And the power of God really was in him, that he would do all these things. Miracles after miracles, and perseverance in persecution, and going from place to place, and beaten so many several times before the councils and the leaders, and almost killing him, and he'll stand and still strengthened by the Lord, and he's doing things that we see him doing. He would touch other people and they will be healed. But how come Paul wasn't healed? He has all it takes, and yet he doesn't get his healing. Whatever the thorn was, God did not take it away. And Dan was saying that maybe if he did not take it away, maybe if he got healed from whatever the thorn was, or delivered from the thorn was, he could not experience the grace of God. Because it's so easy to serve the Lord and do all these things, and you expect everything is going to go well. And you feel like you kind of have known God. And so I'm going to read this. It says, "Are they the servant of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from the fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold, naked. Besides everything else, I face daily pressure of my concern, on my concern for all the churches, who is weak, and I do not feel weak, who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn." And then he says, "I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to vision and revelations from the Lord. I know a man of Christ who, 14 years ago, who was called up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows, was called up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weakness. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than in warranted by what I do or say, all because of this surpassingly great revelation. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties, For when I am weak, then I'm strong. So I don't want to take so much time, but it's, so Paul went through so much, but also he have seen the power of God. So he could have boasted in everything because God was so gracious to him and he worked all this power through him, but also did not stop Paul from suffering from all these things that he was saying that he went through, danger, danger after danger, and then did not even stop him from this thorn that he had. So how do I apply that in my life? Some days I tell myself, oh, I know everything about God. I have seen the power of God. I have seen the miracles. God shows me things. I should, you know, I should, it should be better for me. I shouldn't be like people who doesn't know God. But what if God, if Paul did not go through that, how will he have known the grace of God? And as Christians, if we don't go through those hard times, how would we see the power of God in our lives and even think sorry for people who are going through? We expect to be so good. We expect to be so smooth. We expect to be, because we know God, we know scriptures, we use the word of God, and we see the power of God and the miracles that God has done in our lives. But then we're so shocked when we're going through a hard time and God is not taking it away. But God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. If Paul could not have experienced the thorn that was tormenting him, that actually that God allowed the devil to use that, I think he could not have seen the grace of God being sufficient to him, because that weight makes him perfect. Even his weaknesses, God is stronger. So when you forget that, if I forget that, we have to remember that even the main people that we, the heroes of faith, men of God, they went through a lot. We're not better than them. We are not. And so let's just look to the grace of God. And when we trust God completely, I think we can say his grace is sufficient, because God sustains us every single day if we let him. And if we don't, then we're going to be worried the whole time in our lives until they say, sleep in peace. God bless you.
That first song we sung, I think it was the last of the verses, says, God, let your blessings fall on me. It came to my mind that some of his blessings we might not consider a blessing, like God, Paul's thorn. And then Judith just got up and talked about it. And that is maybe why God tells us to rejoice in all things, because what we don't perceive as a blessing is a loving blessing from our Father. It might be a loving correction, which we don't might not enjoy. And for Paul, it was to keep him from becoming conceited. I mean, if you look at his background, he could easily become conceited, right? And then the experience he had with Christ, like a private teaching session for months, he could easily become a very conceited man. And he was a very driven and determined man. And without that thorn, he could have become insufferable. So that was a blessing in disguise, as we can call it. And then I was thinking of Micah 6:8. It says, oh man, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with our God. To walk humbly is to accept what he's doing in our lives, right? Without being offended by it. We can ask him to remove it, but he might say no. And then we have to say, okay, Lord, then we will need to respond with joy and learn how to live with this and accept your grace, because it will be sufficient.
Thank you, you really explained it so well. I just thought that I said, what I want to say, I don't say when I reach there. So thank you.
When you said that perfectly, you said it well. had actually felt this could go left unsaid, but it seemed to fit in a little bit. So, and I did, I've often thought that Paul and I probably would not have gotten along very well. I don't know for sure. Psalm 107, I read it this morning. I woke up early and I noticed something interesting. The bulk of it is really four verses, and it's almost like a hymn. And so I'm going to read it differently. And so you're probably not going to be able to follow me, but it's four, you'll see, four different verses out of it. And I'm going to read the first part of each one, and then the middle part of each one, and then the last part of each one. And I'm going to read most of Psalm 107. So it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, north and south. And so here we get into the sum of. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They're hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. And down to verse 10, some sat in darkness in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there is no one to help. Later on, 17, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. And then verse 23, others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end. Four different scenarios. And then we'll read the second part. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Second one. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. And the third one. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. And then the fourth situation. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. There's a temptation to think that God will always do it, you know, and always remove us from our distress, but that was also an eventually, right? The fourth part in each of these, I'll read. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Second scenario. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Third scenario, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. And the fourth one says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. I just thought that was really interesting. It's four different scenarios that the author, as he wrote this, trouble, cried out, looked to the Lord, he delivered them, and they gave thanks. And it is good for us to remember, you know, as you know, Paul with his thorn in the midst of trouble, he didn't get rescued from that. He got rescued from a lot, but in all things he gave thanks. And, you know, I thought that fit well enough this morning anyways.